Have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Appreciate hearing the blessings sing. Great to see them learning sign language. Kids have an adaptability and an ability to learn that is much easier for them than us old people. Romans, chapter 1. And verse number 8, there are 13 times in Paul's New Testament letters or books of the Bible that he gives thanks, particularly for these churches, particular things in these churches. And I wanted you tonight to feel that as your pastor, I'm appreciative of this church. I thank God for you. And Paul's thanks cover so many areas that we can be appreciative of one another in this church. Verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Let us pray. Father, we ask you blessings on the gathering here tonight. Help us to learn and grow through your word and be edified and be encouraged. And bless those that are traveling and those that are sick. And meet their needs, we pray, in Jesus' name. I want to say I appreciated Dick and Sue and Don and Rose being here tonight. They got to get up about 2:30 in the morning and go to the airport and fly to Tampa, Florida to go on a cruise together for a week. But it'd been very easy for them to say, well, we're just going to stay home and go to bed early tonight, you know, and get some sleep because we got to get up so early this morning. But they came to church anyway, and we appreciate that so very much. Bible Baptist has grown spiritually to the place each week that more than 20 to 25% of those people in attendance are in some specific way serving within the church. There are 30 people in the choir. There are 40 overall in the teaching ministry of the church, in Sunday school, in junior churches, in Wednesday night program, in the Sunday night program. And so that is a good percentage of workers. A church will never outgrow the percentage of workers that it has. A church of 200 has needs in the nursery and needs, you know, in junior church and may need in the choir. And I'm amazed we have several pianists, thank God. And I've seen churches that don't have a pianist. They have to either bring somebody in from outside their church or they use a canned system, you know, that plays three songs, and boy, if you get behind on one of them, you're in trouble because that machine doesn't know it. It's going to keep right on going, you know. And we are blessed here with the amount of workers that we have. Teachers in junior church and Wednesday night, and Pete took a group to a teacher's training thing one time, and we had 40 people that received materials. Ushers and folks in finance and deacons and all of these things together. We have a great percentage of people in the church who are workers and serve in specific ways. I rejoice in the number of qualified teachers and spiritual believers that we have in our church. We have a number of adult people who can teach Sunday school class, and we use as many of them as is possible. And tonight, there's 13 times that Paul praises and gives thanks to the churches for their labor of love for the Lord, for their faith, for their growth, for all these various things. Now, we won't get to all 13 of them tonight, so rest easy. And we'll just cover as many of them as we possibly can. These New Testament letters, or epistles as they are called, giving thanks. Romans 1, verse 7 and 8, Paul was thankful for the believers at Rome. Their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. Rome was a well-known place. It was the seat of the empire of that day, and here's a Christian church thriving in Rome, the seat of power, And the seat of power of Rome was idolatry, not Christianity. And so here we have Paul writing to believers here in the Jewish and Roman world of that day, the fact that Rome, here's a Christian church whose faith is known throughout the whole world. This is about 60 AD when Paul is writing this. And it's about number 6 in the chronological order of the writings that Paul made of the New Testament scriptures, or books of the Bible as we call it. If we are to be known of as a church, how will it be that we will be known? How will people know of Bible Baptist Church? Will it be the name? This is a name that's not too common. It is common among those who went to school out in Springfield, Missouri. Baptist Bible Fellowship came out of the old Bible Baptist Union. And so there are churches in about every state, at least, named Bible Baptist, and about every major city. But it's rare to find one that's not an independent Baptist with that name, you know. And so we'll be known by our name. We'll be known by the size. Many churches are known by the size. You can't drive down Highway 51 and not see Calvary Church because of the design of the building. It looks a giant crown is what it was built to look like, those big spires sticking up. You almost have to get from east back to west view to get the crown image so you can see what it looks like, or an aerial photo of it. It is a very large building. I think it's about $50 million when they built it, and a $6 million organ that went inside, and it's very distinct by its size. It used to be distinct by its color. When they first built it with the stucco, they painted it, and it came on a hue of pink. And so people called it the Mary Kay Cathedral and, you know, all kind of names like that, you know. But it was certainly well known. Some churches are known by their location and their buildings. You drive by certain roads and you'll see a church up there and the buildings up there, and they're identifiable to you and you know them because of that. Some are known for their sporting activities. They win all the ball games and sports because they focus so much on that. Some are known by their daycare center. Some churches have very large daycare centers and are in business to make money, and that helps fund the church and that sort of thing. To me, that's putting the cart before the horse. If you don't have a daycare as a ministry, if it's a profit thing, I think you got the wrong situation there. Some are known by their graveyard. Flint Hill Baptist Church up here in Fort Mill is one of the most historic Baptist churches in the county. It was the earliest Baptist church in York County. It was the mother church, the first Baptist church in Rock Hill. But its graveyard is far larger than its membership, and it's known by that as a burial place for many, many families in this area. Some are known by their wealth, by the great amounts of money that they possess. But our faith and our testimony of a spiritual people is what we want to be known by. We want to be known as a church where people can find God. We want to be known as a church where people can have a friendly greeting, and where they can be made to feel welcome. A church where believers are, who believe the Bible, and who exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've had many people come to this church from different church backgrounds and tell us in 6 months or a year here at Bible Baptist Church they learned more about the Bible than they had all their life in the churches they had attended. And that is a wonderful compliment to our Sunday school teachers and to me as the pastor and to our members who would teach them. We send forth missions with sacrificial giving, where real Christians gather, and it's not a social club. And we're people that know how to behave ourselves in the house of God, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15. Here things are to be done decently and in order, as the Scripture teaches. Thankful for the faith of the believers of Bible Baptist Church, our testimony is known through our missionaries throughout the world of today. Secondly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, turn there with me if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4 through 6. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the grace that has been given to us here at Bible Baptist Church. Many people have been saved throughout the 36-year history of this church, and we have been enriched by the blessings of God. We know the Bible. We've been given the Bible. We have knowledge of God and His Word, and it is a blessing that we have the testimony of Christ confirmed in us, that we have many gifted people who are gifted in various areas of service and ministry and labor for God, and who are knowledgeable to teach others. This church is an evidence of believers who are, the Corinthian church was a pure evidence that believers are not perfect, that we're in a growing situation. Just as like we mature as a person from a baby to a young man to an adult man to an old man. And throughout that process, you're growing all the time. You make mistakes, and you learn from those mistakes, and you hopefully avoid them in the future. Well, the church at Corinth is the typical example of a church that was not perfect. They had lots of problems. They had division and carnality. But Paul says they're saved, and they're the saints of God. And this church was in varying levels of believers in their knowledge and their ability, but they were a testimony to Christ. And God's given us a great percentage of people who are willing to serve and people who are willing to be prepared so they can serve. And we're waiting for the coming of Christ just as Corinth was waiting for the coming of Christ. To me, that's the greatest motivation for me to live a right life and to keep short accounts if I sin by repenting and confessing my sin, is knowing that Jesus could come at any time. And knowing that motivates me to be living for the Lord when Christ returns. We are a church of the Bible. So because of that, we are dispensationalists and believe in the premillennial return of Jesus Christ. Do you know there are major denominations that don't believe in the premillennial return of Jesus Christ? There are major denominations that are what is called amillennial. They don't believe in a millennial reign at all. They preach and teach we're in the kingdom right now. I'll tell you what, brother, the kingdom we got to look forward to is a whole lot better than the kingdom of what's going on right now. And this motivates us to live for Christ. Some churches are five-point Calvinists in their teaching. They have no desire to go out and win souls or tell people about Christ. They figure if God wants anybody saved, it's His responsibility to do that. Well, we know this, nobody's going to get saved without God. And we know that God is the one who does the saving, but He has told us to preach the gospel to every creature, to give everybody an opportunity of a hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are many churches that don't believe that and don't teach that. There's a difference in churches. It's not just choose which one you want that's closest to your house and that sort of thing. You need to be in a Bible-believing church, a real church, where there's real Christians that go to church there. Thanks be to God, we're not divided as the church at Corinth was. We are not having the division that they had and the troubles that they had and the morality that they had. Though from a 35-year history, we've seen moral problems all through the years and evidenced by those things. But as a church, we've done our best to deal with those things in the right way. Thirdly, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians 1 verse 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. So Paul could give thanks for these believers giving and for their faithfulness. This church gave and prayed and received the apostle in godly sincerity. We've received godly men and women into our church, and we've received godly missionaries to support, and we've received the godly people in a sincere way to help them along their way. This church, like many in the New Testament, had a very humble beginning at Corinth. And now 2 Corinthians enhances that there's been growth in the church from the time Paul wrote 1 Corinthians until he writes 2 Corinthians. There's been considerable spiritual growth in the church. And I thank God that we've had spiritual growth throughout the years. This church had a humble beginning. We rented a closed seafood restaurant for the first year and then bought the old City Hall on Main Street in Fort Mill. Stayed there 4 more years while we bought this land and got it cleared to build the first building. We've had several phases of building here since, but from the first time we met, we received an offering. It was a very humble offering from the few people that we had, and we put 10% aside for missions and 10% for the building fund. And the rest went to pay the rent and the power bill, and they gave the pastor a little salary. And that's how we got started, and that's where we began to grow from. And today the church is strong in missions and giving, and they pay the people who work here a fair wage. And all of our buildings and property are paid for because we've continued, we've endured, we just kept going in the right direction. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes years to build a church and to build it up and to give it a testimony and godly people that God sends our way to help us along the way. Not one person, not one family. It is a collation of us all doing the work of the ministry that makes this church possible. It is a church of prayer. We can look back and see many answered prayers for this church. How that God has spoken to hearts to weep and pray over others. And we've seen people saved. We've seen marriages united. We've seen people healed. Making intercession, keeping watch over the congregation is all our responsibility to be faithful to lift up this prayer list in prayer. One of the ladies this morning that was visiting said, "Wow, all these people on this prayer list," it was in the bulletin. And she said, "Are all these members?" And I said, no, not all of them are members. Many of those on the list are family members and people we love dearly that are on our prayer list. Intercessory prayer. We receive one another in the Lord. And look at one another in the Lord as brothers and sisters in Christ. We rejoice that God has given us a church with a sweet spirit and a harmony and a working together for the cause of Christ. Next, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 15. Ephesians 1 verse 15. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ, whom He raised from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. For this He praised them for their faith and their love unto all the saints." The people traveled throughout the world in those days, and they went through these major cities. And some of those places they were received, and some of those places they were not. And Paul praises them for receiving the saints of God, other Christian people. Paul prayed for them to grow in their wisdom and the knowledge. And that's what we pray for as a church here, that we'll all grow in the faith, grow in the knowledge of the Bible, grow in wisdom on how to apply it into our daily lives. And God has blessed us with a great percentage of mature spiritual people. So let us continue to receive others and help them to grow that they can be known also. We're known by our love and by our growth in wisdom and knowledge. This is a church that loves people, the church that that gives to people sacrificially to help them. And we show our love by what we do, and we know the hope of His calling. Paul gave thanks for the churches where he was, and as he writes these New Testament letters to them, he's thankful for them, thankful for specific things about them. And as we think of this church, we can give thanks to God for the church we have, for the opportunity God gives us to be here and to grow in His Word. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1 verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God, who's at work in us here by our faith in Jesus Christ, will continue that work until Jesus takes us home to heaven forevermore. It's a work where we continue to grow, a work where we continue to serve, continue to have opportunity. He was confident God had begun a good work in these believers, and that God would continue that work, that there was good ground that God had found to work in at Philippi. And Bible Baptist is a church of good ground where God works in the hearts and lives of His people, and that we would continue to grow. Turn over another page to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So he was rejoicing and thankful for the believers who love God and love God's people, for the fruit that had taken place here. Now, I'm the first one to say I would love to see more people get saved. I'd love to see us have more people get saved. But I'm thankful for every person that's been saved throughout these 36 years that we've been here. Many of them have not all become parts of this church. We've taken people, kids to camp, who I think truly have been saved, many of them, and you know, the way their families are, they may not live here any longer, or they may have not had the home life, you know, to keep them in church. We've had revival meetings where people have been saved. We've had people come from other churches and get saved and go back to their own church. We've had people pass through for a period of time and get saved and baptized and be a part of the church and then move away with their jobs or whatever it may be. But for all the fruit that has taken place, we give God thanks. And we appreciate this church's part in it, and that God would help us to walk worthy and pleasing in His sight, fruitful in every good work that God has given us to do. We want to bear fruit for the Lord in every good work. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians, and I'll stop here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Remembering your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. Those are the three abiding graces that will abide forever: faith, hope, and charity. And that's what we're to be known by as a church, by our faith, our hope, and our charity or love. Knowing that you're real, our election is sure, that God hath chosen us in Christ, and that we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are God's people. We are not sinlessly perfect, but we are real Christians because we've been saved by grace through faith. You have become followers of those who have led you in the faith, receiving the word with joy, even in affliction here at Thessalonica, and at some of the places there was affliction because they received the gospel. The Jews that put pressure upon them, the Gentiles that put pressure upon Paul and Silas and throwing them into jail because of preaching the gospel and getting people converted and turning away from idolatry. And you have become examples to the people in Macedonia and Achaia, he said to the believers at Thessalonica. And God has helped us to be examples to the people around this community of our faith in Christ. From us is sounding out the word of the Lord throughout our area, as the believers at Thessalonica did throughout all Macedonia and Achaia. That's seven of the New Testament letters. There are 13 where Paul wrote and gave thanks for what he saw, what he heard, what he knew. At Colossae was the one book he wrote to that we've read tonight where he had not been. He had heard of their faith by Epaphras, and he was thankful for what he heard about that church. I wonder if other people who've never been here but hear about our church will be thankful for what they hear about how things take place in this church. Our love for the Bible, our love for the lost, our love for missions, our love for the Lord as the saints of God. Let's stand together, please. Father, I ask you to bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts. Draw us close to you, we pray, and help us to see ourselves under the light of God's love. Help us to be a church that you can be thankful for. And it's an enduring church that will do the work that you've called us to do and have much fruit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.